Romans chapter 12. Thank you for everybody. These days where we eat are beautiful, just watching people pitch in and help and wherever it needs it. Love the kids. The kids, you know, even Erica, I asked Erica, I loved her response, and she was about to get a cup of water, and I said, Erica, could you go tell the kids it's time to come up for the service? And I loved her response. She was turned and she wasn't going to get a drink of water. I said, no, you can get your drink of water. But boy, that's the kind of response that the Lord loves, right? And the Lord wants us to get that drink of water too. But I loved her response. Zero issues. She was going to go grab everybody. But I'm glad she got her drink of water too. Romans chapter 12, let's read this great passage, verses 14 through 21. We went through 14 through 16 just a week ago. And we'll do a real quick review, and then we'll really focus on verses 17 through 21. Title of the message, Thinking Right, Responding Right, all within the context of chapter 12, all within the context of the entire book, that I'm just convinced it's the result of being transformed by the renewal of our mind. This is the behavior, this is the thinking that will begin to permeate our lives and exude from our spirit as we are transformed by the new of our minds, as we give our bodies a living sacrifice. Verse 14 says this, Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Talked just a week ago, be ready to bless. Bless those that curse you, right? I forgot my phrase this morning. Strange instruction. You can't remember. How do you expect us to remember? I know. It really made a lot of sense to me. I was preaching that. Strange instruction. Bless them which persecute you. Weird. Come on now. That's weird. It's supernatural. Supernatural things ought to exude from us as believers in Christ. Bless them which persecute you. In case you miss it, bless. Curse not. It's not our place. Our place is to be a blessing. Our place is to show and give kindness to people, right? I think I mentioned this last week. Maybe I didn't, but does it ever blow your mind? It still blows my mind. I've mentioned this a number of times, that we can be a blessing to God. It's only possible through Christ that we can be a blessing to God, but we can be a blessing to God. Bless them which persecute you. Then it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and it says, and weep with them that weep. And so we see that, right? It's, I told you that I struggle with the weeping part. And literally, you know, with the Gardners, I texted them Wednesday. They found out about Pastor Gardner's situation on Wednesday. I did not want to go. Part of it, remember I told you, I struggle with this. I thought, I am not going to be the empathy machine. You know, I'm not going to be like... I'm not going to be the one weeping. I'd cut my leg or something. I care, right? And so I wanted to avoid the situation, and not just for that reason, but I just thought, wow, you know. I still tell folks this. I don't know him that well. He doesn't know me that well, but just it's really tough. The Lord has really moved on my heart this week. And then Sister Kincaid mentioned it in the morning. Ladies, I will better pray for you when your men struggle. Whether we can compartmentalize it and put it to the side, Brother Gardner's fine. He'll look at you and say, you know, he numbers his days. He actually has a phone on and he says, well, I'll live 10 years. I have 3,650 days from now. And he goes, I want to number my days. What am I going to do with those days? And you know, he says, if I live till I'm 70, here's how many days it is. If I live till I'm 80, here's how many days it is. He said, I'm not going to live till I'm 80. And he tells you, you know, that's just, it's a spiritual mindset, right? It's not saying, I only have this many days. It's like, how am I going to use these days for the glory of God? But his dear wife is the one that's internalizing it and struggling. And we need to rejoice and weep with one another. And we need to internalize. We need to condescend to men of low estate, right? We want to hobnob with important people. But what the Bible says is hobnob with the unimportant people. Hobnob with the people that nobody else will hobnob with. My front row scholars, you know what hobnob means? Hobnob. You want me to explain hobnob? Hang out with, enjoy. Come on, man, let's hang out. Let's do something. You know, hobnob. You guys all, everybody else knew what hobnob meant, right? Don't do that. Well, you're from Cuba. And so it's we need to want to be around those people. Let me just finish this with the way to think. It's so simple, but it's Philippians 4:8 all over again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, just, and not in that order. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It is this. You want to overcome sin, stop thinking about the sin. If you don't like somebody, stop thinking about not liking them. Stop thinking about their bad characteristics. Stop thinking about whatever it is, stop thinking about it. You will act out on what you think about. And so just really, when the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, stop thinking about it. You know, you've heard me say this all the time. You know, if you say, I don't want you to think about a black cat. Stop thinking about a black cat. Stop thinking about a black cat. Stop thinking about a black cat. You're going to think about a black cat. Right? So the Bible is just this simple. It's think on things that are holy, that are good, and capture those and catch those. You're mad at your spouse. Stop thinking on negative things about your spouse. I've told you, my wife said this many years ago now, and she said, if you keep thinking that way, you're not going to like me. She's right. You know, if we think negatively about somebody, we're not going to like them, right? I just told somebody recently, I said, I want you to write down, you know, my old routine, I want you to write down 50 things that you love about this person. And I told him, I said, you can't say, I love that they own a nice pair of blue pants. I just love that. I said, no, I want it to be personal and specific with that person. And they said, I can't do 50. I said, do as many as you can. I'm going to hang in there until you can do 50. I said, I can think of thousands with you. And they go, of course. And I said, but you can think of 50 with this person. You want to like somebody? You want to love your enemy? You can't be thinking like hating your enemy, can you? You want to do good to your enemy? You want to bless your enemy? Then you need to think positively of your enemy. I've recently met someone's enemy. And I told him, I said, I can think of 50 things positive about your enemy. I wasn't sure they liked that. I want you to know we have to think differently. You understand that? You want to overcome sin, stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about your sin. Stop thinking about the evil. Stop thinking about that and capture it in your mind and cast it down and just get your mind focused on the things that are eternal and things that are spiritual. And that's critical key that it's just, it's so simple. God's ways are not difficult. God's ways aren't that complicated. They're truly not. They're truly not. Stop thinking about it. Capture it. Boom. Cast it down. And just practice that. Eventually it'll be a habit of you, boom, casting it down. Eventually won't think about it. Where are your struggles? Just anyway. So now let's do this. Make sure to do these. And we're going to look at this in verse 17 to 21. Make sure to do this. First, leave vengeance to God. Leave vengeance to God. Look at this. We're going to look at this in verse 17. We're going to look at this in verse 19. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Now let's look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you something. I think I've mentioned this. I may have mentioned it a couple months ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's a simple truth, but it's a Bible truth. Remember Strange instruction. The Bible ways are not the ways you've been taught. There's no movie that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We all love the movie, I've talked about this before, where the bad guy gets his head bashed in. Maybe I've just confessed, but we are trained that way, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is Bible. This is in our bylaws. I don't usually highlight this. We have our bylaws. You can see our constitution, any of that that you want. And but 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. Let me just tell you this. If you're a member of Hope Baptist Church, you cannot sue a member of Hope Baptist Church. You're looking at your jury, not me. I mean, if you were looking at each other, you'd misunderstand. The membership. Yeah, you did sound like that. Like I was going to be, I'm judge, jury, and executioner. No, I wasn't. But the church, if it's a serious thing, the church will decide. So here's what, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, but brother, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and they do this and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. What? Do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Because we don't think that way. It's my right. Not biblically. You better make sure you understand what you can do by the law of America and what God's ways are. God's ways say that it's better for you to be defrauded, ripped off, than for you to sue your brother. How dare we take our causes? And just that simple truth there, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We leave things in the Lord's hands. Just let me give you a few more scriptures. In fact, turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Famous passage. I want you to look more into the context of the passage. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. He says this, Luke 9, 51. I love hearing the pages turn. If you guys want to make me wait longer, you can just turn. Don't you do that. I'm going to boot you out of the front row. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, she is a Tillery. She is a Tillery through and through, through and through and through. I love the Tilleries, though. But she's a Tillery. Anyway. Luke 9, 51, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, Jesus is preparing. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was focused and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered to a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Remember the tensions between the Samaritans and those of Judea, and Jerusalem's the capital. And when his disciples, James and John, part of the super close guys, Peter, James, and John. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I told Stephen James, Job, he's helped me see it as almost a relationship book, because we've seen how terrible his comfortless friends were. But it is, here's the key. Do you know, this is my belief. So I'm making this up. So what does that mean? I'm making this up. It's not in the Bible. Okay, why would James and John be willing to bring down fire from heaven? It was the Samaritans. Here's the question they should ask. What if it was your mother? Would you bring down fire from heaven? They wouldn't. And so we will be really hard on people we don't like. But you see, that's the sin. He says, you know not what spirit you're of. See, we will exact vengeance on people that we don't like. And we may act more biblical, but I'm not sure the motive is the glory of God. See, what we've got to do, the real test of our love for Jesus Christ and whether we are responding in a supernatural way, is the people that we despise the most, the people that we dislike the most, whoever that person is, whoever those people are, will we respond to them in love, in kindness, and will we bless them? You see, We are a vengeance-driven society. Let God bring justice. That's not our job. Now, then people say this. Well, you have Exodus chapter 21, where it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You understand the context. You can go back and look at Exodus 21. This is what I believe. I believe Exodus 20 is the moral law. Exodus 21 begins the civil law. That's the law of a nation. And the nation, the leaders of the nation would exact punishment on others, and that's the purpose of government. You following me? That's not your purpose, Noah. Your purpose isn't an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Leave the things of government to the government. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. It's not our place to execute vengeance. What that means is we will love people, and we may be wounded terribly. It's not enough just to ignore it. We must love them. We must bless them. Corrie ten Boom, we listened to Hiding Place. If you've never heard Hiding Place, it's an audio drama. We'll let you borrow it. You can probably get it on Audible or maybe even the library. I don't know. But Corrie ten Boom, if you know the story, she was concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And she was from Holland. She wasn't even a Jew. Her family was part of the underground, helping many, many, many Jews. And then her family was captured, and she was sent to a concentration camp. Well, it was an erroneous paperwork that allowed her to be released. And it wasn't erroneous paperwork. It was God. But she had been convicted. She struggled with hating these people that were so vicious, so brutal. They were almost inhuman, right? It was just ridiculous what the Germans did. And so she was going around preaching. You know, women can preach, you know, just not in church. But so she's proclaiming, I'm preaching. I mean, she was. Wasn't necessarily in churches, but she was going around, and she had a great message. My wife saw Corrie ten Boom. My wife's really old. And so she saw Corrie ten Boom, and one of the SS officers, the secret police. What does SS stand for? I just went blank. Secret police. What is it? Secret service. There it is. Thank you for that. Anyway, she spoke, and he came up to her, and he said, I so am thrilled that Jesus forgives. And he said, I loved your message. He said, I'm so sorry for what I did. I would like to extend a hand of friendship. She said at that moment, she was filled with emotions she didn't understand. Hatred actually was the first response, the flesh. What she said, though, she said, you know how you can pause when you're at the moment, it seems like forever? She said she extended her hand and shook her hand, and she said, you know, she wasn't charismatic. She said, it was as though an electrical pulse went through my body, and I was renewed, and I literally loved that man. And she said, at that very moment, God gave me victory. She did the impossible. Her father died in the concentration camp. Her sister died in the concentration camp. And she survived. You see, God asks us to do the impossible, but only through Him. See, real Christianity is impossible without Christ. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You just love this theme of the Bible. It says this, be honest. Look at verse 17, the second part. He says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You got to love this. What the Bible says is, provide things honest in the sight of all men. We should be constantly aware that people are watching us. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Listen to these passages. I'll take you to, just listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20, 21. He says, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is ministered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We must, this is I don't know if burden's the right way. This is a responsibility that we've been given as Christians, that we are constantly ambassadors. If you are doing your job, everybody knows you're a Christian. Just yesterday, someone told me, I was in the conversation less than 30 seconds, and they said, you know what bugs me? Churches, there's more hypocrites in churches than there are real people. And you know my standard response, because they've never been around me. I said, and where would you like the hypocrites to go? I said, I'd like them to go to church, because maybe they might be changed by the hearing of God's word. Where would you like them to go? I said, so I agree with you. There are a lot of hypocrites in churches. I said, but don't let the devil use that to get you from not going to church. And so people are watching. People know you go to church. This morning, it was one of our neighbors who doesn't like us. It wasn't great. It was somebody that we want to come. We love visitors. We love people. But it's they were coming into the parking lot, and she's just a meanie. And she chewed him out and said, you need to watch, you need to watch the pedestrians, And this person, they're learning. And they said, well, I told her, I said, well, you need to be careful yourself. Okay. So we didn't quite nail that one, what? He was right, but wrong. You follow me? She needs to watch out. But you know what we need to do? I'm so sorry. This same person, she got on me one time because I told her, I said, you haven't talked to me for a while. Now she never talks to me. But she said, well, she said, you sprayed weed killer on my lawn. I never sprayed weed killer on a lawn. You know what I did? I said, I am so sorry. I said, would you forgive me? I'll make sure that no weed killer ever hits your lawn from our church or our people ever again. What benefit would it be like, I didn't spray weed killer on your lawn? She was utterly convinced that I sprayed weed killer on her lawn. I wanted to go, show me. Part of me just said, you want weed killer? I'll kill your weeds. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? I have to remember, she's watching. I need to love her. I need to bless her. You want to know the truth? I think her air conditioning doesn't work. I'm just telling you this publicly. I was convicted about it last summer. I'm not very spiritual. I didn't ask her. Well, I'm afraid she's just going to chew me out over something. But you know what I need to do? That's the worst air conditioner I've ever seen. And she has her windows open today. I'm not asking you for help. This is personal between me. You know I don't want to fix her air conditioner so bad. I've gone public now. You guys, every time you drive by, we have a pastor that needs prayer. And I'm just hoping she goes, yeah, my air conditioner works. It's been on my heart and mind for a long time. You know those things where God does that for you? You know that? Good grief, I so don't want to do that. And my wife is sitting back there going, oh, I don't know. She, my wife will do anything that I'll say. But it's like, I'm talking, what if it's $2,000? There is a limit. Did you see the small print here underneath this verse? There's not. Watch her have the most expensive air conditioning system in the history of mankind or something. I don't know if she does, but you know what? That's been on my heart. It's been on my heart a long time. These things go through my mind. Oh, you think that's hot? That's so wrong. So you pray for me. That's specific. We can preach it all day long, right? You drive by it, you look to the right, you'll see it. Maybe she has her air conditioner on today. I've seen it on occasionally. Today's not that day. I saw it today. I'm looking. Just hoping God would convict one of you and you would lead the way. You're not going to help me with this. You're not going to get involved with this. If you talk to me about it, I'll be mad at you. And I'm going to violate all these scriptures. I'm just telling you about it because I'm just telling you, if I don't live it, I'm done. I'm not preaching this so we just play games. I'm not preaching this like it's some fairy tale. She doesn't like me, and I don't like her. And what the Bible says is love her. I'm not doing a very good job of it. I do smile and wave every time. If only you knew what I was thinking. It's not like I'm like, hey, jerk. But she's watching us. And you know what? I think I could fix her air conditioner and she'd hate me just as bad. But you know what? I'd honor the king. He's worth it. I'm not doing it so she likes me. Anyway, this ain't confession time with Steve. Third thing I want you to see. Look at verse 18. He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm going to combine a couple things. Look at verse 19. I've already talked about vengeance, but you see this where it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He says, live peaceably with all men. I probably never said this publicly. I probably had two heart attacks, if I had any. I think I may have had none, but I probably had two. I went to the hospital before I actually went to the hospital, and I had a $7,000 deductible the first time. And I went through the same symptoms that I eventually went to the hospital, and I said, I need to do things a la carte. And they said, no, Mr. Hall, when you come to the hospital, we take over. I said, no problem, and I passed my wife in the parking lot. I said, we're going home. The only reason I bring it up is this. I know why I probably kicked off the first time I had a heart attack. Anger. I got really mad, and it's exactly what kicked it off. I doubled over. I'll never forget it. It's embarrassing. I've never even said it publicly. You're the first people I've never even talked about it to any of my friends. It's called sin. God was very kind to me. I was mad at my wife. Got really mad. And immediately, boom. The second time it wasn't, but I probably knew the second time. I wasn't mad the second time, but I probably did such a good job the first time. She knows it. You know, every time I'm about to get mad, you know what I think? You want to have a heart attack? Nah. No one will ever describe me as easygoing, but I want to tell you this. There's no place for anger. Be at peace. Be at peace with your family, with your friends. There's never a place for anger. Never. I think God was very good to me. You want to see mercy in that? I could tell you story after story of the blessings that have come out of what I think is a faux heart attack. You know, we're still having debate over that. But if I had one, I probably had two. She says, oh yeah, you had two. But be peaceable with all men. You know this with your enemies. You know we just ought to get along with one another. There ought to be no place like this. This just ought to be good. We ought to just love one another. Whoever the most difficult person is in the church, if it's me, have peace with me. I love you and I want to get along with you. You know this, there's just no better place. Have peace. Be peaceable with all men. Be peaceable. I'm not going to say her name. Be peaceable. And I know this. If we do the parking lot, we're going to have a problem. Everything's looking good so far. We'll be bringing some stuff to you soon. Looks like it's going to go well with Fairfield, but remember she stood in front of the Bobcat last time we tried to do something. And be peaceable. Why? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. Because the honor of Christ is at stake. If the honor's at Steve's at stake, you know what? If I didn't have Jesus Christ, I really don't care what you think about me. You know what it's about? It's about results. If I'm lost, right? If I'm lost, it's just about winning, right? I know I have an issue with that. It's not that funny, Stephen. I've got to back off sometimes and say, it's just Monte Carlo. It's just a board game. But I want to win. If I was lost, I could win. But what I love is, see, if I get focused on this, winning is losing. That's a tough one for me. Winning is forgetting about Steve Hall and remembering it's about Christ. It's me looking like I am soft and weak and going, no problem. Would you please forgive me? I was wrong. And by God's grace, I won't do that again. I'm sorry. That's not normal. I need Christ. I need to submit to Him. I need to honor Him. in all things. Be peaceable. Fourth thing I want you to see, it's just be giving and kind. I want you to look at verse 20. This is just the Bible. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And I love this second part, but I don't think that's the emphasis. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Yeah, that sounds good. But what's that about? It's a quote from Proverbs. Listen to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, so the donkey is overwhelmed and can't move, and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. The Bible says this, you see your enemy have a need, and I know. I've gone public. Why do I go public? Because I saw my enemy had a need. And I, what? I'm just kidding. You're one tough dude. It's okay. You know I'm just teasing with you, right? I love it. I just do see how you respond. But I saw a need, and I have not acted on it. You know what the Bible would call that? Sin. It's a sin I can live with. Obviously. I've been living with it for nearly a year. I'm going to wait until October. Make her go through August. I can't. You guys should ask me. This week may be tough. Give me 3 more weeks. Okay? Will you give me 3 weeks and then hold me accountable? All right, give me 3 weeks. So today is July 4th. So by July 25th, I'll ask her. I really dread talking to her. And I don't even know how to talk to her. I mean, she knows my car. So, you know, she knows my car. You just, every time, this is what she does. I just kid you not. She stops, takes her glasses off, and I think she's probably thinking, that's the dumbest guy. Does he not know I don't like him? I do. I know. I got it. Got the message. And you see what the Bible says? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, I believe this. In our culture, air conditioning is pretty normal. And I'm not saying it's a necessity, but I think it's normal. Therefore, would this not say this in the 21st century? Therefore, if thine enemy has a broken air conditioner and you could fix it for her? I'm just going to focus on the end. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, what that means is this. I really think I can look forward to that because you know what I want? I want her to be saved. And I will tell you this. I have stories. She would be my greatest. Not for my praise. But I can tell 40 instances how mean she is. And then if she gets saved, she might not be able to attend here because I go, can I tell your story again? I've never met anyone mean as you. But God saved you, right? Yeah, you mind? You mind? You okay with that? Okay, thank you. She's going to be like, I got to go to another church. And but the coals of fire would be Romans 3:19. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I could show you scripture. It says in Proverbs. In fact, I think I have it here. I think I have it. Proverbs 24:17 says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. I ought not to rejoice over any of her calamity. But the coals of fire. Otherwise, here's a contradiction. Jesus said when the apostles, James and John, wanted to bring fire from heaven on the Samaritans who didn't honor Jesus Christ properly, the Samaritans were wrong. Would we agree with that? But he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. The coals of fire aren't Jesus saying suddenly, now here's how you bring down fire from heaven. In a vengeful way, he says, here's how you bring down fire for heaven in an eternal way. So, some of you that pray about it, just pray that our air conditioning is not broke. Something's wrong with our air conditioning. And the Bible says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I want to hear your stories sometimes. I love this. You guys help me. I don't think I can think of, I'll ask my wife later because I forget things. Have we ever done anything for people that are our enemies? I mean, enemies? Probably not. nothing comes to mind, right? You're probably like every other Christian. You need to do things for your enemies. This just wasn't just like tiptoe through the tulips and then we say, okay, we're done. Who's your enemy? Bless them. Final thing is, it says in verse 21, you feel the theme? I'm not going to repeat it. Be not overcome of evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want you to turn this to the final passage, 1 Samuel chapter 24, and then I'm done. 1 Samuel chapter 24. It's SKC. It's the opposite. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. So if you find those, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So if you, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 Samuel, just you can, if you find one of those, you'll find, you know, that's, I'm just trying to help you open the Bible and find a section. 1 Samuel chapter 24, this is when David could have killed King Saul. King Saul was very evil. King Saul was very wicked. In fact, of this, King Saul wanted to kill David. I mentioned this morning that I do believe that we should protect our families. I've thought about this. I've made this statement. I've made this statement, and I think this is unbiblical and wrong. I've said, if anybody comes in my house and threatens my family, they will not leave my house alive. Biblical? Here would be a biblical statement. If anybody comes in my house and threatens my family, I will not stop until I subdue the threat and my family's no longer at risk. But I've imagined this because of our society. I'm going to kill him anyway because we're not going to trial. You ever think that, or just am I just a weirdo? Okay, you ever think that? No, David, thank you. You will both repent afterwards. Anybody else? I know that because I'm like, you know, all of a sudden that's me taking vengeance in my hands, isn't it? Well, the Bible says to protect your family, we ought not to try to kill them. David could have killed King Saul. But he trusted God. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16. I'll finish with this. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 24, 16, and it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this the voice? Is this voice thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Look at the impact of David's honorable behavior before God. That's the coals of fire, the results of the coals of fire. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good. Exactly what this passage tells us to do. Whereas I have rewarded thee evil, and thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. He's yelling this over a chasm. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killed me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Only if he's going to be supernaturally led by the Holy Spirit and do something that's supernatural. The natural man will kill his enemy every time. The Bible says this. Don't do it. You can protect your family. Sometimes that may result in something tragic. Look, verse 19. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. That's the story of Mephibosheth. David made that promise and he never forgot that promise. He did good unto his enemies all the days of his life. Folks, just the simple message. Successful Christianity is not sinning. That's not what successful Christianity is. It's not what we don't do. I'll probably confuse you. Successful Christianity is not just avoiding sin. So try to say that. Successful Christianity is honoring the King. Doing things that you wouldn't do if you weren't a Christian. You know, some lost people would help her. We ought to be the first to help her. No one's allowed to do anything. You're not helping me. I've just declared it. This is between me and the Lord. I'm convicted about it. She's my enemy, no doubt about it. I expect her to be dead long before this. You know, you think I'm nuts, right? God loves me. God loves her, but he's got a crooked eye for her, right? Because she's mistreating us. But God says this: love her, Steve. Do good unto her. Return good for evil. Let's pray. Father,